Are you a questioner, a wanderer, or even a bit of a snooper? If so, then you'll feel right at home in Knoxville. We've got miles of trails to wander in our urban wilderness, award-winning eateries to satisfy your culinary cravings, cultural sites to open your mind, and dog-friendly activities that'll have everyone wagging. Knoxville, calling the curious. Learn more at visitknoxville.com.
What's going on, everyone? It's Bluff here, and you know what's more American than America's 250th birthday? Supporting American-owned companies like SpinQuest, America's number one social casino with over 1,000 games like Live Dealer Blackjack and Craps. They're offering new users a $30 coin package for just $10. Go to SpinQuest.com and sign up today.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Welcome in to hour number two of the Early Line, live right here on Sports with Kevin Walsh, Sports, Donnie Brightside, along with me here as we get set to break down the NFL during this hour. Thursday night football, certainly will need to be talking about those props, Taysom Hill starting, what can we expect from the Cowboys backfield. We're also going to talk a little bit about college football championship weekend. Listen, you got to prepare. Tomorrow's busy. NFL Sunday and the biggest games of the week. We're going to talk about some of the other games on that college football championship slate, and we'll get you your NBA preview. But before that, some NBA recap last night, Don, because I thought there was a really big game when it was all said and done between the Milwaukee Bucks and the Charlotte Hornets, because this is now a Milwaukee team, Don, that got off to that rocky start, having to deal with a lot of injuries. Jrue Holiday for a stretch, Chris Middleton out for a while with health and safety protocols. Brooke Lopez has not played since their first game of the season. But this group now back, healthy, and rolling. An 8-game win streak here, extended at the gun, basically, on a Giannis layup. A game they once trailed by 18 in. They come back and take down a Charlotte team that's having a pretty good season themselves.
Yeah, two talented teams lining up in this one, Kevin. As I joke around, like with the three-point player props, and this is one of those games where you would dream of as an NBA three-point prop player. The Charlotte Hornets, Kevin, hoisted 51 three-point shots in that game. You say, hey, they don't even have to shoot a great percentage. They actually shot 40%, which means they made 21 of those. You slide it down to the Milwaukee Bucks. They shot 39%, hoisting up 36 three-pointers. And if you're looking for some matchups and say, hey, what makes sense? Remember the, you know, LaMelo Ball. We're going to ban him from the show in play sports, and he always lets us down. Well, seemingly when we don't bet him, he went 8 of 15 from three-point range in that game last night. 2 of 7 for P.J. Washington. You know, Rozier even chipped in with one. Bridges with three of them. And how about Kelly Oubre Jr.? I don't know what's going on here coming off the bench. He is the new Buddy Hield as he went 5 of 9 last night. So it's incredible. Like, you made 21 three-point shots and still lost the game. Well, why is that? There's a dude on the other side who's won MVPs that's going with 40 points, 12 boards, and 9 assists, including the clutch layup to win this basketball game. 127-125 is over bettors and backers. This game can't get any better, and it was entertaining, Kevin, all the way through.
First time we saw a total in quite some time, Donnie, above the 230 mark, and cashed easily here in this basketball game. And I think it serves as a reminder that the Milwaukee Bucks, Donnie, kind of last year changed a lot for them. And not just obviously winning the NBA championship. That goes without saying. But the 2 years prior to the title season, Donnie, they were the number one team in the regular season. Best record by a country mile. And expectations fell short. And last year they entered the Eastern Conference playoffs as the third seed overall and eventually win the East and win the championship. But it's not to say that the Bucks are going to purposely keep themselves out of the number one spot. But it allows a team to be confident and comfortable despite regular season struggles. And there was no panic for this group despite some, you know, early season poor performances here. And now winners of 8 in a row and very deserving of their spot, at least as the second team here in the Eastern Conference between the Brooklyn Nets. And some might even argue they should be higher. As I look through this market, though, Donnie, to win the Eastern Conference, there is a gap that is quite stunning to me there. As we see the graphic, if you're with us on the TV side, there is a team that doesn't even make the mark. Radio audience enters the fold. Appreciate all those tuned into the early line on Sports Grid Radio. Kevin Walsh and Donnie Wrightside here on this Thursday morning. Donnie, last night we saw the Celtics and the Sixers match up. A good game from competitiveness, an 88-87 final that'll make your stomach hurt. But the Celtics win this game by one. The Sixers do cover overall. The Sixers, Donnie, check in at plus 950 to win the East, and it is a 30-1 number on the Boston Celtics. Does that sound right to you when you look at this market and look at these teams?
Like, when you're looking at it, how does that feel to you when you take a look at the prices? They say it looks a little bit off, but aren't we waiting for like a shoe to drop on both sides here, right, Kevin? You're saying, can Jaylen Brown coexist with Jason Tatum? So if you do make that trade, does that actually hurt the Celtics? What are they getting back? Are they going to push some of those assets into the future? But at the same time, you look at the Philadelphia 76ers at plus 950. Yeah, they still have Joel Embiid, Tobias Harris, and the semblance of a good basketball team. But you're still waiting for a shoe to drop. And like, I know the same guys keep coming, like Ben Simmons, if he makes a trade and you actually get Dame Lillard back in town. Don't you feel there's a little bit of a hedge option there either way? Because it feels to me the Celtics are a complete team and might lose Jaylen Brown, and who knows what you get back for him. But the Sixers still feel to me, Kevin, there's a lot of talent there, but they're incomplete. It's like we're waiting for a major move to come down to help the Sixers, so that's why they're priced a little bit higher than the Celtics to me. Because the pedigree for both of those teams is there to have talent and get these prices and maybe cash a ticket here, or at least hedge a ticket when you get into the playoffs. But for me, the Sixers feel right at 950 because we're in a holding pattern here to see what they're going to do. Would it be surprising to you, Kevin, if they hold Ben Simmons for the entire season and don't actually make a move to improve the team? I think there's a chance the Sixers can improve. I'm not so sure that the Celtics can make a move that's going to actually improve them. That's what I'm looking at.
Yeah, no, it's such a good point because Don, at the end of the day, right, the minimal improvement they make is adding an all-star top 30-ish player, maybe better, maybe worse in some, in Ben Simmons back into their roster, right? Yeah. For Boston, and that's the takeaway for me, is how low they're perceived right now at that 30-1 number overall. There's two more teams I want to touch on, and then we'll set you up for some NBA preview. Keep it right here. This is the early line on Sports Grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Back with you right here on the early line. There are two more things I want to bring up as we look at the Eastern Conference markets, Donnie. The first has to do with this 5-1 number on the Miami Heat, a team that got a big push from early season dominance and now is going to be without Bam Adebayo for over a month of basketball here. They played last night not only without Bam Adebayo, but without Jimmy Butler, and were blasted in their own building by the Cleveland Cavaliers. Now, that doesn't sound as bad when you consider the Cavs have been a much better team than people would have anticipated here. But I just want to say, I think that this Miami number, Donnie, and the way it's moved has, for me at least, been justified because what they did early season wasn't just against any old teams. I mean, an absolute smoking of the Milwaukee Bucks in your building and then a road trip to the Barclays Center where you took down the Nets. Listen, I know it was a small sample size, but I think we know what the Miami Heat can do when they're fully healthy. And as always, Donnie, when it comes to the NBA futures markets, at oftentimes you are banking on teams being fully healthy. It's why the Nets numbers unchanged, because there's this expectation that Kyrie will rock up. It's what we just talked about with a Ben Simmons and a Philadelphia 76ers here. I'm not saying I'm eager to bet Miami at 5-1, but despite the Adebayo injury, I think they're just fine.
Yeah, they should be just fine also. And you always have to be under the guise in the presence, Kevin, that this is going to be a long season. So the value comes when you think they're going to be at their lowest point. Because right now, Kevin, you look at the Eastern Conference, you know, outright betting markets here at the FanDuel Sportsbook. Does this make you want to say, hey, Brooklyn Nets plus 145, this is the exact moment I want to get involved in them? No, like what, you want a 2-1, a 3-1, a 4-1, a 5-1, something in that price here, because you would almost be happy. And it's crazy to think about, like, if James Harden goes down with a hamstring injury that puts him out for 1 month, because we know it's not about the regular season per se. It's about, can you get into the playoffs and will you be healthy when you get into the playoffs? So if the Brooklyn Nets go from, let's just say, the top seed to the fourth seed, and they go from 145 to plus 445, like, now I jump in, because he's not going to be out for the whole year. He's going to be coming back. It's the same way I have for the Miami Heat. Now, if Adebayo is going to be out for what? Let's just say 6 weeks at this point here. And they struggle a little bit. And also, you can't turn the injuries off, as we like to say. What happens if Jimmy Butler stays banged up or Kyle Lowry goes down with an injury?
Right.
You want to take these guys at the lowest point. So it was a great market that you brought up, like the Philadelphia 76ers at a plus 950. They're struggling right now. Do they drop to a 10-1, a 12-1, a 13-1 before they get better? Because you want to get in before they make that move, or before Ben Simmons possibly comes back to the Sixers, or if Ben Simmons is traded for, again, I always use the same guy, Dame Lillard comes to town. You want to buy low in these markets, trying to say the same thing with the Los Angeles Lakers. As long as they're healthy, it doesn't matter where their seating is, and that's what you're actually betting on with these prices at this point.
Last thing I want to bring up before we talk some NBA preview is simply just the Atlanta Hawks. The Hawks were a team to me, Donnie, that presented value in this market before the season. They got off to a slow struggle. And well, Trae Young has absolutely figured it out. Because Trae Young is that good. He's one of the best players in the NBA. He is a true franchise, superstar, cornerstone, and everything that that comes with here. Five consecutive games now of 30-plus points. He is averaging, Donnie, top five in the NBA in points per game. You and I both know, when those new NBA rule changes were put in, there were two target guys, right? It was James Harden, and it was Trae Young. And what's the story been all season long about James Harden? Well, it's just not great. It's not what we expected. I mean, it's Harden. He'll figure it out. Well, Harden right now is 24th in the NBA in points per game. He's averaging 21. Meanwhile, now Trae Young, Donnie, has climbed to 26.3, fourth most points per game. Not only is there value on the Atlanta Hawks, I still believe with that young core that will continue to grow, that made a trip to the Eastern Conference Finals last year, there's also value. Now, value and cashing are very, very different. Donnie has a piece of Steph Curry. It is tremendous to win the MVP. He is a huge favorite at plus 150 when you consider how early we are into the season, and deserves that. But Donnie, the only people that are averaging more points per game then Trae Young, Giannis, Steph Curry, and Kevin Durant. Interestingly enough, your top three choices and the only three guys that are under 15-1 to win this award. Trae Young, Donnie, is 55-1. Devin Booker in front of him, who we debate, does he get the credit or does Chris Paul get the credit in Phoenix? Embiid in front of him, who's already missed 3 weeks. Not his fault, COVID issues here, Donnie. Paul George, the Clipper star, in front of Trae Young. Value, cash out buttons, whatever you want to call it, I know it's there on Trae Young at a 55-1 number.
You know, you bring up the 55-1 number as well, and you say, like, oh, who's going to be down in that market? What happens if you just took three guys here at 55-1 for a little bit? I mean, Trae Young, 55-1. LeBron James, 55-1. James Harden, 55-1. It's one of those markets, again, that usually you say, okay, the top of the market here, Steph Curry plus 100, that's where you're going to be looking. But there, you know, when you slide it down like the MVP race in like the NFL or any other sports, man, these guys don't deserve it. They're not, have no shot at it. But the simple fact is, like, James Harden is a triple-double machine walking now at any time. And watch what happens if, let's just say, KD, I don't know, strains his Achilles and is out for a period of time. He will go back to being Houston Rockets James Harden, and that will absolutely skyrocket. Yes. And also, you're taking a look at LeBron James and the Lakers right now. You know, struggling. He's injured. When he comes back and they turn on the gas, he's going to go from 55-1 to 50-45 and decrease it all the way down, because it's about, you know, getting the best number possible. I can't imagine the numbers getting any lower at this point for Trae Young, LeBron James, and James Harden. Fascinating stuff here at the FanDuel Sportsbook for that MVP market in the NBA.
checks in the mail. Donnie, the one who brings up LeBron MVP odds. You like to see that. Now, let's talk about some of the games on the board. It's Thursday. No, yeah, the ban hasn't been lifted on the LeBron talk here. Let's talk some of the games on today's board, Donnie. How about Knicks Bulls? The New York Knicks, a home dog of 2 points against the Chicago Bulls. 213.5 is your over-under. We've seen these teams play a couple of times so far this season. At the Garden, can the Knicks protect home court against the Chicago Bulls?
Yeah, I think there's a really good chance that they can do that here. Now, let's take a look at what we like out of the Knicks now. Well, I guess what we don't like or what Kemba Walker doesn't like, he's now out of the rotation. But now, seemingly, Kevin, a much more smoother transition where when you're trying to bet in these markets, particularly with prop markets, you want to know who's on the court. And the simple fact is now they're getting Fournier and Burks in the starting lineup and playing major minutes in that rotation. But the guy I always keep coming to as well, Kevin, is Julius Randle. You're right. Like, when you talk about, like, the jokes, like, back in the day where, like, the dinosaurs disappeared, you know, the dinosaurs are gone, but the cockroaches always hang around here. It just seems like Julius Randle is always hanging around the game. If it's a blowout, if they're up by big margin, down by big margin, foul trouble or no foul trouble, no matter what the guards are, Julius Randle is out there giving people the business. And also that double-double market that I like. But also, you guys know, right? Chicago Bulls backer trying to make the playoffs. I should be backing them each and every time they're on the court. Very talented team. But I have to say, Kevin, looking at this game in the Garden here, I got to tell you, I like the Knicks on this short nine here. Maybe it's a slight dog performance out of them. I think they can beat the Chicago Bulls in the Garden tonight.
The Knicks are a team, Donna, I always worry about saying, they're not impressing me, I'm out. Because that's usually when, at the end of the first quarter, they're up 15 because Alec Burks and Evan Fournier made a combined 8 three-point shots. But on the year, the Bulls, Donnie, are 5-1 against the number as a road favorite. The Knicks have a losing record at home. The Bulls should win this basketball game here. We'll see if they're actually able to take this thing down. The Knicks, we'll see. Look, the Knicks need to start putting some of these results in the right pocket. And they're not on any type of massive losing streak right now. Sat there at 11-10 in the thick of the Eastern Conference overall. But for a team that went out there, made some free agent splashes, and then immediately benched one of those free agent splashes, and another's minutes is completely dependent on how hot Emmanuel Quickly is. It's just not the way it was supposed to work out. We'll talk a couple of more games here and then talk some college football after a quick break on sports.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Moving here with some NBA action before we go over to college football. I wanted to bring up the Milwaukee Bucks, Donnie, because they're in action tonight against the Toronto Raptors. Milwaukee is a 4-point road favorite on the second leg of the back-to-back. And the Toronto Raptors are the most frustrating team I think I will ever have a season-long wager on. My goodness, the idea that I said this group would be able to get over a win total because they would protect home court has been maybe the least accurate thing I have ever said. They are maybe the worst home team in the NBA, and against the number, that is undisputed. They have covered, Donnie, one home game so far this season out of their 10 games. The Bucks might bench everybody here, Donnie, on the second leg of a back-to-back, and I still don't know how you get to the window on the Toronto Raptors in this building.
Yeah, because they're deep. I mean, the Bucks are a very deep team. But also keep in mind in this game, anticipating getting back Gary Trent Jr. here for Toronto. If that does happen, that certainly will help. And, you know, maybe in a three-point prop guy, Van Vliet and Gary Trent Jr. have treated me very well. But also you are taking a look at a game last night, Kevin, that had a lot of scoring. It wasn't a slugfest. It wasn't a slowdown here. You had teams getting up and down the court. And now Milwaukee going to Toronto to play. And also you're talking about, Kevin, on a back-to-back, which typically says, hey, you're going to get a depressed number here. Not so fast. The FanDuel Sportsbook. You're looking at that +4.5 number here as a dog. But you're right. One of the better home court advantages, one of the more electric atmospheres typically is in Toronto. And it just feels like on that COVID bubble slash where we're going to play in Tampa Bay, it just hasn't seemed to revert back to Toronto where up in the sixth, they're able to take care of their business at home. I thought they would win their previous game at home. They didn't here. Now you're going to step up in competition, but maybe a slightly tired team because, yeah, Giannis played a lot of minutes, dropped 40 points last night. Maybe his minutes are a little bit restricted tonight. And again, getting back Gary Trent Jr. will help. But it's one of those things, Kevin, that we talk about betting in sports. Betting against the Milwaukee Bucks is going to be profitable at times, yes. But it's so hard to break through on that mental impact of, now hold on here, Toronto hasn't been playing well. Bucks win by five. Boy, you can easily see that, right? That's the tough part about it. But if Trent Jr. comes back, they'll be competitive in this game for the Raptors.
Look, they should be as well. Like, not only did Milwaukee play, right, Donnie? But they played until the very last second of that basketball game here. It wouldn't surprise me if the Raptors ended up being favorites in the game because the Bucks rested Giannis or a Middleton or both on the second leg of a back-to-back. But honestly, that might be information that you say, oh, interesting. I'll wait for that line to drop then, and I will bet on Thanasis and Grayson Allen to go win up north. It's been that kind of season. Another spot tonight to follow, Damian Lillard's going to be out for a little bit here for the Portland Trailblazers. That means it's all systems go on CJ McCollum. Two games this year without Lillard in the starting lineup, and CJ has been excellent for this team because the workload is just tremendous, especially for three-point shots, making 9 in the two games, 4-1 in the game yesterday against the Pistons or 2 days ago, 5 in that first game there. His over-under for points is 25.5. It makes all the sense in the world. But the last game, Donnie, I want to bring up here involves, of course, the Phoenix Suns and their win streak, 17 in a row. They host the Detroit Pistons. I don't know about the streak snapping in this one, more about a 12.5-point spread and a 210.5 total.
Yeah, that's the best part about gambling, right? You don't have to pick the actual winner of the game, just the team to cover the spread. And this is the one that we were talking about heading into the Golden State game between the Phoenix Suns. You're saying, all right, maybe it's not this game, but sooner or later, you're not going to win every game in the NBA. Yeah. A loss has to come. Do I think a loss is coming versus the lowly Detroit Pistons? Probably not. But also keep in mind, you look at this number at the FanDuel Sportsbook where the Suns are favored by 12.5. There is a little bit of a letdown because you know they circled the calendars. Hey, look what's coming up next week. We got, you know, a primetime game here for us against Golden State in our building. Let's handle our business, which they did. But also keep in mind, Devin Booker, one of the best young players in the NBA, probably not going to play in this game tonight after suffering a hamstring injury and leaving early. It has all the makings here of, boy, Phoenix isn't really putting the Detroit Pistons away in this one, and they're hanging around. I'll take the points in this one. Slight letdown, slight injury situation. I think the Pistons can hang in this one. It's tough, too, because, right, obviously one of the better teams in the NBA, the Suns, one of the worst teams in the NBA, the Pistons, but it just makes sense here. Double digits, I'll take the points here.
Look, at the end of the day, the Suns not only are coming off of a monster game against the Golden State Warriors, Donnie, their next game they play is against the Golden State Warriors after this matchup with the Detroit Pistons. And I believe it's on Friday, in fact, so a short turnaround there for the Phoenix Suns. It's going to be hard not to be thinking about that. As you mentioned, they're going to be without a Devin Booker. Also a Phoenix team that's covered 4 of their last 6 games and 3 of their last 4 as a double-digit dog. Detroit should hang. But it's also a classic spot where at the end of the night, you check the bank roll and you go, well, hold on a minute. Now I bet the Detroit Pistons. That's not what I should have done. But they should. They should keep this within that 12.5-point spread. I agree with my man, DRS. Let's talk some college football championship games. Because again, tomorrow we won't be able to get to all of the action. And I'll start it, Don, with the Pac-12 championship game that checks in actually tomorrow. Utah the favorite. And stuff like this is always fascinating because we all know that it would have been a spot where the Ducks would have been favored had they beat Utah in that game. And to be fair, had they beat Utah in that game, this would have massive college football playoff championship indications. It does not, though. The winner of this game does not have a chance to crack into the college football playoff, but still the chance to win the Pac-12, important to both here. The Utes, Donnie, nearly a field goal favorite, but just under that, 2.5.
Yeah, I'm going to take Utah again in this game. I know we just watch it and sometimes, 38-7. Well, why isn't the line 25 points? Because Utah just smacked them. That's not really the way it works. Obviously, Oregon is a very talented team. But from what I've seen, 8 of 9 wins here for Utah coming down the stretch after a sluggish start. They've really got it going on here, particularly on the ground, Kevin. Take a look at those games. If we take a look just at the 5-game win streak here, beat UCLA 44-24, 290 on the ground versus Stanford. This is not a typo. 441 yards on the ground, 174 against Arizona, 208 against Oregon, 266 versus Colorado, and vice versa, Kevin, talking about stopping the run. Last two games, and particularly the game that they had against Oregon here, only gave up 63 yards on the ground to Oregon. I see much more of the same things here. Give me Utah here to win the Pac-12 championship.
I just look at this game, Donnie, and it reminds me that I had a piece of the over, and Utah scored 38, which means you only needed 21 from the Ducks, 3 touchdowns to cash a ticket. The new number here, 57.5, and I intend on spite betting the over once again. They owe me, Donnie. It is just that simple. Now, another game involved in championship weekend in a Power 5, though, without college football playoff implications, but certainly an expectation for big time points in the ACC. Wake Forest against Pitt. Pitt is the favorite. And I just have to say, before you even break this down, I thought Donnie brought up something really interesting about whether or not Kenny Pickett can crash the Heisman party here. Because if there isn't an appetite to give it to a defensive player, and Bryce Young does struggle against that Georgia defense, as basically anybody would be expected, Kenny Pickett is in action. Not Matt Corral, not Kenneth Walker, and not C.J. Stroud. It makes this game very interesting, Donnie, where Pitt now lays that 3.5 number with a total of 71 and a hook.
This is sensational. Like, look at both teams on the season, Kevin. Can you get a better matchup? Wake Forest on the year, 42.9 points per game. Pittsburgh, 42.8 points per game. That is sensational stuff. Look at the offenses. Rushing, it's amazing, right? Rushing yards per attempt here. For Wake Forest, 4.1 on the season. How about Pittsburgh? Yeah, 4.1. Then you flip it over to pass yards per attempt. 8.7 for Wake Forest. 8.8 for Pittsburgh. These guys are going to move. Now, also, when you take a look at an ACC championship game, odds on, raise your hand that anybody at the beginning say, you know what, I can predict this here. It's going to be Pittsburgh versus Wake Forest for all the marbles here. Crazy the way it turns out, but also crazy entertainment for us here. Both of these quarterbacks are legitimate. Both of these offenses are going to move the football against each one of these defenses here. 60 degrees and light winds in Charlotte. Why not get those 70-plus points in this game? And it is interesting because you are correct. When you're entering into this game, both of these teams really want to win because how many times are they going to be able to say each other, hey, we were ACC champions? Because eventually, Florida State's going to be good. Miami's going to be good. Virginia Tech and Clemson, those teams are going to make comebacks here in a big way. So these teams have to seize the time. But also, you're correct. If you're looking from a Kenny Pickett standpoint here, how about 475 yards, 6 touchdowns, no interceptions in a big win in this one? He is going to be in the room at the Downtown Athletic Club for a chance to win a Heisman Trophy. But if you want entertainment, Kevin, if you like offense and prop bets, this is going to be a game for you.
And at the end of the day, Wake Forest, Donnie, has been held under 35 points once this season. It was against Clemson, by far and away the best defense they saw. And they still scored 27 in that game. Their team total, you just do the math because it's not posted just yet, is under 35 for this game. Wake will get after it. Whether, you know, because if Pitt comes out oddly sluggish, or which I don't expect, by the way, but I know Wake is going to go after it. And the other thing about Wake Forest, Donnie, and I know you know this team because of the win total you had, they never quit. Mm-hmm. Pitt could be up three touchdowns, and Sam Hartman is still going to be out there saying, I'm going to still get mine. I know Wake Forest scores in this game. I expect points, especially from the Wake side, Donnie.
No, it's going to be tremendous to watch here. And again, if you like prop bets and scoring, this would be the game for you. Good weather conditions. It all adds up here, Kevin. One of the games we might not talk about as much, but good to fit that one in today because it'll be fun to see it play out over the weekend.
Big spot for one of those two to be a surprise ACC champion. Thursday night football on deck.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Tucky Donnie, expected high-scoring matchup there. The Roadrunners with an awful look-ahead loss to close out their regular season, so they're not entering that game unbeaten. San Diego State, Utah State will do battle. And then I'm sure everybody very excited for the MAC championship game. Northern Illinois, Kent State as well. DRS and I were on for Northern Illinois' final game of the regular season where they already had their portion of the MAC locked up and let their bench go out there and get after it. Certainly, Donnie, it was understood why that was the bench for Northern Illinois.
No, it certainly was the bench. It's 20. They got smoked in their last game here. But looking forward to the conference championship game, what do we always like about Maction 2, which makes it interesting, Kevin? Like three people in the crowd, minus 20 degrees, wind blowing all over the place, and they're still able to score. But now you're going to take a look at a MAC championship game that's going to be in a dome. And it's like, sign me up, because you're talking about like one of the better scoring games, which we talked about of the week. This is going to be one of those. If you like the this is the MAC in a nutshell here. Whether it's third in inches or third in 35, it's the same percentages to convert. It is sensational stuff to watch. Fourth and three from midfield, punting the other team deep, not going to happen in this one. It is all about offense and using your opponent against themselves by saying like, hey, we don't think you can stop us no matter what happens here. There's going to be a lot of points in this game. It's going to be fun to watch to see who takes down that MAC championship.
I remember that last game, went through it couple different angles, and I remember, you know, able to, you know, bring home some tickets in that matchup. I know, Don, but one of them was like, man, Northern Illinois shouldn't score at their backups unless they just break off like 40-yard runs. They had three like 40-plus yard rushing touchdowns. Just an outrageous, outrageous game, but that's what you expect from the MAC. Let's talk NFL. Let's talk Saints and Cowboys here. Line moving as we're talking. Yep. Up to five now for the Dallas Cowboys. 47.5 is the total. We talked more props, Donnie, when we set the table. Let's talk side. Let's talk total. Willing to lay this number with the Dallas Cowboys on Thursday Night Football?
Yes, and here's the difference, which a lot of people, and you have to have a clear conscience when you're betting these games. If you like New Orleans with the five, they're at home in the dome, I get it. But I see a lot of people out here also saying, hey, it's a Thursday night football game. It's not yes, it's played on Thursday, but it's not a true Thursday night football game in the way of competitive sense here for the NFL, because typically the disadvantage is playing on a Sunday, traveling to a game on Thursday, not a lot of practice time, not a lot of prep time, and your body's still injured, try to recover. That's not the case here. Both of these teams played last week on Thursday. So basically, this is a Sunday-type prep week here. But you are right here. We talked about it multiple times. Mike McCarthy not going to be calling the plays here or setting up, I guess, you know, on game day to make the actual decisions. Well, good for us. Kellen Moore is the actual brains of that operation here. So what was Mike McCarthy actually doing on the sideline? Who knows? But he's still going to be involved in the game plan. He might not be in the facility, but he's also in on every team meeting via Skype and going over and setting it up. So it's not that bad of an influence where your head coach is actually going to be missing out. Now, in college football, Kevin, apparently your head coach leaves. You got to get downgraded a couple slots here, and no longer can you be a competitive football team, but not in the NFL. I like the Dallas Cowboys tonight to win this game by a touchdown. The 47.5, Kevin, is interesting to me because I think I know what I'm getting out of Dallas's offense. I can lean on a decent performance, right, as opposed to a bad performance. What I'm getting out of Taysom Hill and this offense here for the New Orleans Saints, I don't know. Because the one thing I do know, Kevin, Taysom Hill's coming back here off of injury and hasn't played quarterback full-time in quite a while. Okay. Alvin Kamara, one of the most electric players in football, hasn't played in quite a while here also and is questionable. Mm-hmm. And if he does play, how effective can he be? The same thing with Mark Ingram, who's coming off of injury. There's way too many question marks for me, Kevin, on the side of the football on offense for the New Orleans Saints for me to back them tonight. It's the Cowboys for me.
I think overall, Donnie, the more you talk through the game, it brings us to one of your favorite markets, team totals, and it's Dallas's number at 26.5. It's hard not to like this number here. This is a Saints team, Donnie, that has allowed over that mark in five of their last four games, with the exception being 23 allowed to the Tennessee Titans. The Dallas Cowboys offense, clearly like the little ebbs and flows that they went through for a couple of weeks. But if your full systems go with the Cowboys, you want to back them. The Saints defense line is just not as scary as it was in the beginning of this season. I have to say that the Saints, I'm very bothered because that game on Thanksgiving, clearly, again, I had the wool pulled over my eyes. They're saying, hey, do you want the Buffalo Bills to cover 3.5 against Trevor Siemian? And I went, no. I'll bet the over and we'll be fine. And I'm sat there. I'm like, oh, my God, what am I doing? Trevor Siemian is one of the best defenses in the entire league. Game goes under. They win the game, Buffalo, by 25 points. Now, I think Taysom Hill is an upgrade over Trevor Siemian. And I think he can do things in a way that this game can be higher scoring, but if somebody says, hey, Dallas doesn't score 27, 28 in this game, do you still like over? The answer is probably no, which is why that Cowboys team total, when you really kind of break it down from the side and the total, that's the number that makes the most sense here for me in this game. But let's start to talk, Donnie, about some of the props in this market. We'll talk match specials. We'll see. Listen, this is very simple. Either they're short prices because they're supposed to hit, which means Donnie and I are interested, or they're big prices because they shouldn't hit, but did you see the price? How do you not bet it? We'll find out which description this game meets here tonight, but let's start straight props, Donnie, passing, quarterbacks, rushing, whatever it might be here for this game.
Yeah, if we're taking a look, again, the anytime touchdown score, I'm always fascinated by because it's one of those markets, Kevin, where if you equate it to another sport like the NBA, right, over a half of a three-point made, you can go the entire game and not even shoot a three-pointer like Franz Wagner, and then in the final minute of a game, Kevin, make a three-pointer and cash a ticket, which is why it's so great when you take a look at this anytime touchdown market because, again, I use Ezekiel Elliott, and I really like him at this plus 115. Even if he's not 100%, it's apparent who gets the goal line carries on the Dallas Cowboys. It will be Ezekiel Elliott. I think it makes sense, but also, you know, Tony Pollard at plus 140. You know, some of the producers behind the scenes also think this is a very good deal, and it cashed a ticket for us when we were live on in-game live during the Thanksgiving Day game. That's Tony Pollard to score a touchdown and Ezekiel Elliott. Both of those are plus money, so if one or the other scores, you're going to cash it, but I think there's a legitimate chance that both of those actually take the cake in this one. So if we're going back and forth on these games and saying, like, what do you like actually about the, you know, props and trying to get in the markets here, how about if you increase this here and take a look at any time touchdown score for 2+ in this game? Because you're looking at maybe being goal line carries going to Ezekiel Elliott. He doesn't have to have 150 yards rushing. He doesn't have to have a combined with anybody else. If you look at Ezekiel Elliott to score 2 touchdowns in this game, a plus 850 price on that one. That is tremendous. Now, keep in mind, when we equate it back to in-game live with Kevin and myself talking about the last Dallas Cowboys game a week ago on Thanksgiving, I actually took a prop here for Ezekiel Elliott to get 1 touchdown in the first half and 1 touchdown in the second half. That paid off at a plus 750 price. This is even better, and this is any time. He can get both in the first half, both in the second half, 1 in each half. It doesn't matter, and that would cash in a nice ticket here. So there are some interesting markets and some outliers that we can have. So taking a look here, Kevin, anything that you like in that touchdown market that you think is viable? Because for me, 2 touchdowns out of Zeke anytime at 850, that's a big number.
It certainly is. But on the Zeke thing, Donnie, it's a classic spot tonight with now the touchdown stuff makes all sense in the world, right? Because no matter what, they get in the 2-yard line, they go, all right, come here, let's go. Let's get you into the end zone. You're our best back for this situation. But, Donnie, if I say, hey, listen, I'm fading this injury news, I'm betting over, and then they don't use him, you're like, well, what was I thinking? But then if you go, all right, I'm betting unders, and then you were like, what was I? Also, what was I thinking here, right? It makes it a little bit difficult. If I were to line up the one prop on Zeke outside of the touchdown stuff, Donnie, and again, this might be a little too risky, but it would be under 2.5 receptions at a plus 140-ish price. Now, he's gone over that number. It's going to sound crazy when I say it. 6 consecutive weeks. But realistically, Donnie, if they want to cut back on this guy's workload and we bring Amari Cooper back into the fold and CeeDee Lamb back into the fold, why is he out there for pass work? It doesn't make much sense. Let Pollard be the explosive pass catching back as the game carries on. It's attractive to me because it checks in at the plus price. Now, the plays don't have to be for Zeke for him to get dumped down, check downs, nothing else is open. So I understand the risk of it all. But realistically, to me, it doesn't make much sense here for Ezekiel Elliott to be a main pass catching back. And on the point of receiving yardage, multiple weeks in a row, we've been fortunate enough to get halftime looks on in-play sports tonight. And Donnie has done a tremendous job picking out a couple of different spots. The live receiving yards are a very slight ask for a lot of players that you can catch it on 1-2 at most receptions needed to cash you some live numbers. So make sure you do tune in from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern on Sports Grid Radio with myself and DRS. I'll bring up this in terms of straight props as well. Every Taysom Hill prop I'm interested in, which is scary, I know, but I'm interested in all of them. He cashed these numbers last year with consistency. 3 of 4 over that passing number, 3 of 4 over that rushing number, multiple 2-touchdown games into the end zone in 2 of his 4 starts there, a plus 180 number. I'm going to try and not go Taysom Hill crazy, Donnie. I think the ideal world for me would be a piece of his anytime touchdown and then a passing plus rushing prop if they offer that on FanDuel tonight.
Yeah, I think it makes sense. I think more likely because if you're trying to take a look and try to equate him how much passing success he's going to have, that's going to be tough. Because, again, you're not dealing with dominant wide receivers, and you're dealing with a guy that's not a pure pocket passer. So you probably would want his rushing yards. You probably would want his anytime touchdown, which would make a lot of sense. But as we try to equate it and turn it over into the game itself, some of the game specials make a lot of sense here for us also. Now, if we're not looking overall and saying, Kevin, like, what do we like out of the passing game here if we're taking a look at Taysom Hill? Because you know me, I love to get involved with one touchdown pass for each quarterback in each half, but I stayed away from that in the last game of Monday Night Football, and it turned out to be a profitable move. It was actually very close to cashing in, but Russell Wilson to throw, you know, a touchdown in each half, that one cashed in at plus money, whereas Taylor Heineke's did not because of that overturned call late in the fourth quarter. Kevin, we have that same type of scenario in this one. If you're looking towards Taysom Hill to throw 2 touchdowns in each or 1 in each half, that is a big ask to do, but you're going to get a big price tag. But how about this one that we've started up here? Russell Wilson, you know, we had an over 1.5 touchdown passes. He hit that. Also hit it at 1 and 1 in each half. Look at Dak Prescott tonight here, Kevin, to throw 1 touchdown pass in each half. Tom Brady a couple weeks ago was a minus 125 price that we hit. Tonight on Dak Prescott, that's a plus 135. I think that's a doable number and a nice price for that one.
It absolutely is. And you know the regulars that we always look at. There's one market I've often brought up, and we've never been able to get there, but I just want to bring it up at least, Donnie. It's from the game specials featured market at plus 220. Dallas to win and have the most rushing yards and the most receiving yards. I bring it up just because we both think the Cowboys will win. Dak throwing for more yards than Taysom Hill.
Good point.
Anything other than that would be an absolute stunner. And if they're favored to win the game, Donnie, then maybe they should have more rushing yards here. Plus 220 isn't a bad payout for that one.
It's not a bad payout, and it makes a lot of sense here because you're right. If you're worried about banged-up running backs, who has them? New Orleans. A banged-up quarterback, who has them? New Orleans. But wide receivers not as good as the Cowboys? Yeah, New Orleans again. It's a pretty good look by you, Kevin, there.
Plus 220, obviously their money line at minus 205, an interesting way
to
win this game. That's true. We'll be right back. Donnie will close out the early line.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
last segment of the day for the early line right here on the Sportsbook Network, Sirius XM Channel 159. Both myself, Donnie Wrightside, and Kevin Wallace carrying you through from 7 to 9 before we hand it off to Ben Stevens and the morning after over the next 3 hours. But as always, before I leave the airwaves today, you guys, listen up. Ah, yes, a lot of big doings in sports going on. The NBA in full swing, the NFL heading towards the backstretch into the playoffs. The college football playoff will be determined shortly after championship weekend. And oh, yeah, Major League Baseball is having some issues with labor agreements as the MLB lockout is now official as of December 2nd. So what can we look forward to in the winter? Not much here. The hot stove that we talked about, all the free agent signings, yes, they are gone. This is also the first work stoppage or lockout, I should say, in quite some time in Major League Baseball. So again, looking forward to no free agent signings, no baseball hype, but also the most important thing that we always learn during lockouts and strikes here. It's seemingly that the general public always sides with the billion-dollar owners and the commissioners of the league, because why? They will say, we're offering fair market value. These players are signing contracts for $350 million. They're living good. We just want to put the product back on the field so the fans can enjoy the game they've always loved as America's pastime here. So keep an eye on that one as it moves forward. But also, what is on the table here in the lockout that what we're trying to get accomplished here? Let's get the DH back in baseball. Let's keep the ghost runner on second. I'm a team total over guy. Love the ghost runner on second base. It means in extra innings, if you need a team total to go over one, two, or three more runs here, you have a legitimate chance to get that. Also, as I said, the DH in baseball, but more the expanded playoff. Keep teams involved out here. My Philadelphia Phillies won the World Series in 2008. We can't even sniff the playoffs in the last decade. Throw a couple more teams into the playoffs so my Philadelphia Phillies can certainly have some fun and partake in maybe win a championship over the next millennium. Baseball has a lot of things they have to get underway. But you know what doesn't have to get underway here for us to end? Ben Stevens coming up right here on the morning after from 9 to 12. Stay tuned right here on the grid.
The only place to turn for expert sports gaming strategies and information.
But we just call it
The Edge.
What defines Ohio? A place that dares to go first and never looks back. There's no slowing us down. In Ohio, we're powering America, discovering breakthroughs, driving the future, propelling tomorrow. At Jobs Ohio, our mission is clear. Strengthen job opportunities and empower Ohio's workforce. Ohio, our time is now. See Ohio's momentum at jobsohio.com/Ohio's time.
Are you a questioner, a wanderer, or even a bit of a snooper? If so, then you'll feel right at home in Knoxville. We've got miles of trails to wander in our urban wilderness. Award-winning eateries to satisfy your culinary cravings. Cultural sites to open your mind. And dog-friendly activities that'll have everyone wagging. Knoxville, calling the curious. Learn more at visitknoxville.com.
What's up, everybody? It's Bretzky, and America is turning 250. And I can't think of a better way to celebrate that than playing on an American-owned social casino, SpinQuest.com. With all of your favorite games, live craps, bubble craps, live blackjack, there's no better place to play for free and win real cash prizes. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.